integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we are continuing to check out some of the stories, maybe familiar stories from the Bible, but becoming better Bible readers by understanding these stories, not just to be fascinating, to have kind of a beginning and a climax, some kind of a trouble issue, and then a climax and a resolution, and you just go, that's nice. That lifts my heart. I love to read a good story. Yeah, that's great. But these are stories that pack a theological punch. And on Integrated, we try to take the theology of the Bible and integrate it into our lives in practical ways. We don't want to be people that just learn about these truths. We want to be people that do them. We put them into practice. God doesn't just want us to fill our minds with facts, even good Bible facts. God wants us to fill our lives with these truths in action, lived out. So that's what we try to do week by week. I really appreciate being part of the Fortis family of podcasts and under the big umbrella of Fortis Institute. We have some other podcasts as well. And I don't know if you've had the chance yet to check out Dr. Jason Lyle's brand new podcast called In the Beginning. Again, under the umbrella of Fortis Institute. So you can find it on the podcast apps separately just by going to In the Beginning, or you can go to the Fortis Plus app on your phone, which I hope you've already downloaded, and maybe you're listening to this on that app, and just click right over and find that one as well. It is so good with all the creation science kind of issues and how that applies to our lives. So that's a wonderful thing. We're very thankful to get to be partners together in this wonderful ministry. Thank you for the gospel partners that support us to help make all of this possible. Well, let's go to one of the stories. Let's go in our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I told you that sometimes I think we're very familiar with these stories, but in a sanitized way. In other words, a very simplified, almost dumbed down way. Because when you grow up in church like I did, and you hear these stories in Sunday school, maybe in Awana, if your church has that kind of ministry, but even in the children's story Bibles, I mean, you kind of get the gist of what's going on. But when you come back and read it in the Bible for yourself, you go, what? They left some details out. You know, there's some stuff here that we were not expecting. This is the story of David and Bathsheba. You know, pretty funny. One thing, when I was preaching, I preached through 2 Samuel at our church, Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. And this is some years ago. Now, some preachers are big believers in the title of the sermon being significant. And, you know, that's great. You do want to be able to locate the sermon. And so maybe on your website, that's important. I'm personally one that believes that not many people are paying attention to titles. So every now and then, I'll do some crazy funny title, funny to me, maybe not to you, but I think it's hilarious, and do a title just to see if anyone notices at all. And so when I was going to preach through this story, I entitled the sermon, David Takes a Bath. So you could probably even look that up online and just see if you can find that sermon. Anyway, it was funny. Another funny thing, when I preached that sermon at our church, it just happened to be a sermon Back many years ago, when the Boy Scouts were doing their thing, they would sometimes have Scout Sundays where they would dress in their uniforms and show up at church. And sometimes it was a great evangelistic opportunity because you'd get young men who weren't really part of another church, and they knew it was Scout Sunday at Faith Bible Church and they were supposed to come. And so they all came. There were tons of visitors that day, and I looked out and I was not aware that they were going to be coming. I didn't know it was Scout Sunday. And here it is. All right. And so you just kind of have to say, God, you knew about it, and I'm going to just go for it. Here's my David Takes a Bath sermon. Anyway. All right. Sorry. All right, here's the story. You know the story, but wow, what a story. So it's the spring of the year. Kings are out in battle. It says that and lets us know David is in the wrong place at the wrong time. He is on the roof. And of course, in Israel, the geography, the topography is kind of like steep hills. And so if he's on the roof and these roofs are flat, you can look down and see all of the lower buildings with flat roofs and people taking care of business. Well, this woman named Bathsheba was taking a bath on her roof and David saw her. He wasn't supposed to see her. He was supposed to be out of battle, but he did. And then he got interested and he sent and took her and she came to him, as it says in verse 4, and he lay with her. And she had been purifying herself from her uncleanness. Why is that significant? Well, if you just do the math on a woman's cycle, basically she was very fertile at this time and she got pregnant with David, David's child. And she sent and told him that she was pregnant. So David did the right thing and had her husband come back from the battlefield. Turns out Uriah the Hittite was one of David's guys. He was one of the mighty men of David. And so loyal, he came back from the battle because he was ordered to do so. And basically, David's trying to get him to go and be with his own wife so that he can blame the pregnancy on Uriah. That didn't work because Uriah was so loyal, he didn't want to go be with his wife when the men were in the battlefield. So he stayed at David's house, and David even tried to get him drunk and sent him back again with a gift. He still wouldn't go. And so David came up with the next honorable thing to do. I'm obviously being tongue in cheek. These are not honorable. These are deadly sins. And he basically sent a message with Uriah. Don't look at this, Uriah. And Uriah is such a faithful guy, he didn't look at it. And basically the message is, hey, Captain Joab, when Uriah is in the battle, just send him to the front lines and then pull back so that he'll die. And that's exactly what happened. And so then Joab reported back to David, okay, here's what's going on the battlefield. And even though it kind of looks bad, like we were defeated, Uriah, your servant, is also dead. And so David's like, well, tell Joab it's okay. We understand. This is how it happens. And, encourage Joab. And so then it says they did that. And that report went back to Joab. And here's kind of the conclusion of the story as it's written in 2 Samuel 11, verse 26. When the wife of Uriah, isn't that interesting? Not even named Bathsheba at this. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she lamented over her husband. She's pregnant with David's child, and she's lamenting over her husband. And it says, and when the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. Wow. Okay. Last little significant sentence in 2 Samuel 11. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. All right. Why are these stories in here? They're in here to make theological points. And this is a big one. And the big, a massive takeaway is that our sins displease God. God cares about your life. He cares about what's going on in your world. And he really, really hates sin. Now, David is the king of God's people. Of course, in the old covenant economy, Israel is a nation, and they had chosen a king. Again, they were rejecting God being their king, it says, back when they chose Saul. But we know it was always God's plan that they would have a godly king, right? There was a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. They did it wrong, but God even superintended that. We know it was God's plan because ultimately the Messiah would come from the line of David, and he would be the ultimate king of God's people. And so David is the king. So he's the representative. He's the leader of God's people. And when he sinned, there were profound effects on him and on Israel as a nation. So the theology is what we're wanting to draw out. Now we have to take a break. When we come back, let's see if we can pull out some theology from this story. So don't just think about it as an interesting, fascinating, gory, kind of a terrible story that you really don't want to, you know, preach when you've got a bunch of Boy Scouts who've never been in church looking at anyway. Anyway, but I did it. Then when you come back, let's pull out some theological lessons. We'll see you after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Krotz in just a moment. You know, the reason that you're listening to this episode, or not the reason that you're listening, but the reason that you're able to hear this episode right now for free is because of a group of people. We like to call them gospel partners around here. These are men and women just like you who decided that, you know what, I want to make sure that more people in more places all over the world have access to the content that's being created at Forest Institute. They've been impacted by something they've heard here at some point, and they decided that they wanted to join us because they believe in our mission. And maybe that is you. Maybe you have also heard something here at Fortis Institute that's impacted your life, and you want to make sure more people in more places all over the world also have access to this content. Hey, look, you can join us, and we would be honored if you did. All of the information can be found right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, there are a couple of caveats to joining us as a gospel partner. First of all, we don't want this to be a burden on you or your family. Don't give to our ministry if this would be a burden on your family. Don't do that. Get that area of your life under control before you consider giving to us. And the second thing and the most important thing, do not give to our ministry if you're not already faithfully giving to your local church. As a Christian, that's your number one giving priority to your local church. And if you're not currently doing that, make sure you get that area of your life taken care of before you consider joining us. But if those two areas of your life are looking pretty good right now and you have a means to where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored to link arms with you. You can get all of the details and all of the information right now at fortisinstitute.org. And while you're out there on the internet, I want to also point you in the direction of fortisplus.org. That's where our mobile app lives. If you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus yet, I want to urge you to do so. You can go to wherever you download mobile apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or again, simply just go to fortisplus.org and bookmark it. But all of the integrated episodes from Dr. John Krotz are right there, as well as the content created by Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Libby Glosson, Dr. Jason Lyle, and of course, Todd Friel. You can find every bit of it at Fortis Plus, and none of it will cost you a dime. And here's the best part, other than it being free, is that this is not a static library. This is a library that we add to every single day. Go by fortisplus.org and see exactly what I'm talking about right now. As we get back to Dr. John Krotz, this is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back. We have been talking about David doing some really bad things, terrible sins. And we are drawing out theological lessons from 2 Samuel chapter 11 and now into chapter 12. When God sends Nathan the prophet to rebuke David for his sins and confront him and say, you are the man who has done these things. David himself, of course, on the parallel story Nathan told, said that the guy deserves to die. And Nathan turns the table on him and says, you're the man. In other words, David, you indicted even yourself. You deserve to die physically. You deserve to die spiritually, because sin against God is, as R.C. Sproul called it, cosmic treason. It is a terrible, terrible sin. Well, so what are some of the theological lessons we've been drawing out? God intervenes. God has a very strong opinions about what we do. You don't just want to say, oh, well, I saw Bathsheba and love is love and it was just fine. She was very attractive. And so we just followed our hearts and went with it. No. God says this is wrong. It is a terrible sin. In fact, the story ended, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And of course, when we look at our lives and see our own sins, we are well aware that, yeah, we feel guilty. And good news, the guilt is real. It's from God. And God is very displeased when we sin against him. That's good, because when we acknowledge our guilt, God is also very gracious and kind to forgive us. Yes, our sin has consequences. And as you read 2 Samuel, what was victory after victory turns into defeat after defeat. In some ways, it's like the wheels fell off in David's life personally and Israel as a whole. The wheels fell off in terms of losing battles and defeats and even treason with one of his own sons coming to basically take the kingdom away from David for a while, Absalom. That was a terrible story. Well, all of that is in consequence because David had displeased the Lord. So when he repented, though, God was very gracious and kind. Yes, you deserve to die, but you're not going to die. Their son did die, and that was a consequence of the sin that David committed with Bathsheba and Uriah. Now, we know that God takes these things very seriously because of the massive kingdom and personal consequences for David and Israel, and as God would talk about David later on, he would say, David did right in the eyes of the Lord, except in the area of Uriah and Uriah's wife and all of these things. So it really was sort of a stain on David's character from then on. But we see some other theological lessons. God loves David. God loves his people. He seeks out his people. God is the one who sent Nathan the prophet and confronted David's sin. What do you do when a friend is in unrepentant sin? You go and you apply God's word to them. You speak the truth in love. Confrontation is God's means of dealing with sin. Even as John MacArthur once said, this is really the only thing, the only plan is confrontation. And we see that God uses the truth spoken in a loving way to get to the hearts of his people. So God doesn't love the sin. It displeased him greatly. Yes, there were some consequences, profound consequences, but we do know that God loves brokenhearted repentance. How do we know that? Well, Psalm 51 is David's public confession of his sin. Yes, he repented to the Lord, but because he was the representative, the leader of God's people, he also went public with it. And you can look at Psalms like Psalm 32 and Psalm 38. Those are Psalms that deal with sin and forgiveness. But Psalm 51 is maybe the ultimate of these penitential Psalms. And it's a beautiful model for God's people. Here's how you repent. And I really appreciate when he gets to the end of the psalm and he says these words in Psalm 51:16, For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. God doesn't want you then to try to make up for your sin by doing religious rituals. What is pleasing to the Lord, however, is when he says in verse 17 of Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. And that's what David offered to the Lord. He was brokenhearted. Yes, after you're brokenhearted, then of course go to church. Of course, do the things that God tells you to do. In fact, he says later, then you will receive my sacrifices because I'm coming with a right heart. In the Old Covenant, they had those animal sacrifices, which pointed forward to the once for all sacrifice of Jesus. We can't earn God's favor, but because of Jesus, we have God's favor. So if you find yourself in unrepentant sin right now, my friend, would you please repent of your sin? Do what's you've done what's displeasing to the Lord. Now let's do what's pleasing to the Lord, and that is to humble yourself and to confess your sin. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And this is the same God. He has been displeased with your sin, and he wants your broken heart. Now, you're not earning God's favor by being sorry enough. The only way to pay for that sin is by the sacrifice of the God-man, the Lord Jesus. But he did that on the cross and in the resurrection. You look to the cross. You believe in the Lord Jesus, and you're saved. Even as believers, we look back to the cross. And because of the mercies of God, we give our bodies as living sacrifices, as it says in Romans chapter 12. We sacrifice the fruit of our lips. We sacrifice by way of brokenheartedness in our repentance before God. And God is so kind and so gracious to not only wash away your sins, to cleanse you relationally. Now, you've already been justified. You already have a right standing before God. But when we confess our sins, our Christian sins, then God restores us relationally with him as well. If you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9 says he is faithful and righteous to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Praise God for his great forgiveness. We see God's grace as well. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, as Paul is preaching a sermon and he mentions David, he describes David as the man after God's own heart. So even in the New Testament, yes, there was some stain. Yes, there's some scar tissue. Yes, there was some damage that David did in his earthly life. But by God's grace, David's reputation was restored, and he is still called in the inspired scriptures a man after God's own heart, seeking to do God's will. God's grace is so real that after David and Bathsheba's baby in immorality was taken, God gave them another child, and that child was Solomon. Solomon, of course, became the king of Israel after David. He was David's successor. But even more significantly than that is through the line of Bathsheba and David, having Solomon, ultimately through their children, down the line, came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can even read about that. Bathsheba is in the line of Christ in the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, referred to as the wife of Uriah. And yes, there was sin. Yes, there was stain. But oh, God's grace is greater than our sin. These are not just stories. These are theology lessons for us. And we don't just want to learn these theological truths. We want to do them, put them into practice. David was a true believer. He sinned. His sin displeased the Lord. God really hates our sins. But it's important to note that even believers can commit massive sins that God is displeased with. And even believers can stay unrepentant for a while. David and Bathsheba were unrepentant. And of course, the baby was born. It seems like he was unrepentant for 9 months because of this sin. But when confronted with the sin, the mark of a true believer is he or she repents. David did repent brokenheartedly. And these are wonderful lessons for us. And of course, these are lessons that we don't just want to know, but we want to do. If you are in unrepentant sin, be like David and repent. Be broken before the Lord and find God's massive grace. Go back to the cross and get your joy and relationship with God restored today.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.